Scripture today comes from Hebrews chapters 11, verses 1 through 3, as well as 8 through 16. Faith in action. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful, who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Amen.
We close and pray. Dear Lord, may the words of my mouth
and the meditations of our hearts and the actions of our lives be pleasing to you and bring glory to your Son, Jesus. For it is in his name that we pray. Amen. Well, break it down. Before I get to breaking it down, in the wake of the shootings in El Paso and Dayton and across our nation, Roger brought us up and we prayed about it last week. Our bishop, Frank Beard, sent a pastoral letter for all of us, and I'd like to read it. Dear sisters and brothers in Christ, it is sad to face the reality that violence, hatred, and bloodshed has become commonplace in our society. This brutal reality cannot and should not be accepted and normalized by people of faith. We will lift our voices together in prayer for the victims, families, and cities where these recent mass shootings have occurred. We are also reminded of our moral obligation to resist evil in whatever form it presents itself. This steady occurrence of violence fueled by racism and hatred cannot be fed by the energy derived from silence of Christians that fail to speak out against such evil. It is not enough to just whisper prayers of intercession for those who have been victimized. We must also unite our voices in crying out against the root cause of these acts of injustice. I prayerfully call upon United Methodist of the Illinois Great Rivers Conference to help shoulder the responsibility for seeking solutions that will move us all closer together as children beloved of our God. I urge us to work together, tearing down walls that separate, divide, and cause us to remain fragmented and fractured. Racism is a sin and a disease that must be dealt with by people of faith. Only the love of God anchored in Jesus Christ can rid our society and our world of this vile and sin-fueled evil that would cause innocent and helpless men, women, and children to fall prey to these senseless acts of bloodshed and hatred. I urge you to pray for healing and restoration as you use your voice to speak out against this and other acts of hostility. Please know that my heart hurts and aches alongside yours as we face this brutal fact that we live in a broken world. Your faith and your testimony to the transforming power of Jesus Christ is needed now more than ever. Let us unite as people of faith and demonstrate to the world that we will not allow hatred to thrive and divide us. Let us demonstrate through our living and our praying the words of the much loved hymn, "Let there be peace on earth. And let it begin with me." God bless Bishop Frank Beard. You know, the actions can be sin, but so can inaction. And I sure don't have the answers for all this, but during some time in the Bible this week, this scripture hit me. And hit me pretty hard. It comes from Isaiah, the first chapter, 15, the second half of 15 through 20. It says, "Your hands are full of blood. Wash and make yourself clean. Make your evil deeds out of my sight. Stop doing wrong. Learn to do right. Seek justice. Defend the oppressed. Take the cause of the fatherless. Plead the case of the widow. Come now, let us settle this matter, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good things of the land. But if you resist and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken." Well, one of my questions that I've been asking you lately and myself is, what's at stake? What's at stake for us? Well, maybe nothing. Maybe we'll never have a mass shooting in Manitou. But then what's at stake for our children, our grandchildren, and even our great-grandchildren? Wow, it gets a little more real there, doesn't it? I still don't have the answers. But the Lord told Isaiah, he said, "Learn to do right, to seek justice, defend the oppressed, take up the cause of the fatherless, and plead the case of the widow. And if you are willing to be willing and obedient, you will eat the good things of this land. But if you resist and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword." Hopefully, all of us here have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and we're striving to follow His word. But what about those that don't know Jesus? How will they know where to find the hope that we have? In Matthew chapter 28, 18 through 20, it tells us, "Then Jesus came to them and he said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, and therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Sounds to me like we got some work to do. We have work to do because the lost are at stake. And sometimes that lost, it includes family members, our children, our neighbors, our great-grandchildren, our great-great-grandchildren. And we've got lots to do because we owe it to Jesus. This morning when we go to our community blessing, we're going to change songs for one Sunday anyway, and we are going to sing, "Let There Be Peace on Earth." Okay, wow. Feel like I've already went ahead and I gave a little sermon there with the bishop, not nearly like the bishop can do. But all that being said, I haven't even started into the message yet. So I guess we better get started. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 is the one that ended up sticking with me this week. "Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see." And when I read that over a few times, that's what ended up giving me break it down for the title of this. And then that break it down, that led me to Google. And I knew what I meant by break it down when talking about this scripture, but break it down in Google's eyes had some other meanings. So, first definition that I came up with in it was, it is when a person is feeling the song and dancing either vigorously or in a high-intensity choreographed routine. The skill with which the person is dancing is usually unexpected. Now, I must admit, I was really hoping that we had a Jaker over on this side and a Peyton over on this side, because they would have shown us what break it down is when it comes to that dancing enthusiastically. But they're not here, so we will move on. Because break it down, also, it talked about it in just straight with music. And break it down is part of a song when various artists, musicians, maybe they all start playing together, but then the guitar player, he goes and takes off, or another musician takes off, and they will do their thing as they break it down. Ed Shaughnessy. Anybody remember him? We've got one. We've got two. They're young ones. There is no way you have any idea. He was the drummer for Johnny Carson Forever, and that was one cool dude. And when him and Doc Severinsen would get going, Ed would get to break it down every once in a while with a drum solo. He went ahead and passed away on May 27th of 2013. He was 84 years old. That's a lot of drumming. Okay, let's try this one, because this dude could break it down too. Clarence Clemons. Anybody ever heard of Clarence Clemons? Some youngers coming in now. Yes. Clarence, he was born in 1942, and he was also known as the big man. There we go. I got people mouthing the words that I'm saying even before I say them. Yes, he was the big man, and he was in that guy's band. Who is the boss? You are correct. Bruce Springsteen. And Clarence, he could break it down too. When he got into there getting to do his saxophone solos. What about this guy? Carlos Santana. A lot more people. How many of you were at Woodstock? Okay, well, hey, don't put your hands up, even if you were. Carlos is the only one that is still alive of these three, and he's still alive and still going strong. He wasn't born until 1947. He's only 10 years older than I am. But that was another way of this breaking it down. Break it down with music. Break it down with dance. Then it come to this. This is not a really good picture, but looks to me like the equipment was broke down. Have you ever got to that point? And I was in charge of the property at the YMCAs that I led, and sometimes things wouldn't be working, and you just have to go over there and look at it, and the maintenance guys you had weren't quite at that level to fix it for sure. So you would say, break it down, and then we'll come and look at it and see if we can fix it or we need to call someone else. So the other is, break it down can also go ahead, and we do break it down after a machine is done running a certain job and we have to change all the tooling. We break it down to reset up the tooling for them to go ahead and do the next job. Okay. I thought I had break it down and everything was going to be simple, but all of a sudden we got into music and we got into machines and we got into dancing, and break it down meant a whole lot of different things. And I was really just thinking that we would break it down to make today's scripture a little more understandable. And my break it down today is simple. It is just going to be breaking the first verse down into parts. Just the meaning, looking up the meanings of certain words in it to hopefully help us to better understand Scripture. And it's a good way to go ahead as we're studying Scripture. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance of what we do not see. Now, very first word of that. For them and for us. Remember, we go look at it. How's it mean? What's it mean for them? What's it mean for us today? I'm pretty sure that now meant that day for them, and now it means today for us. And actually, in the word, I'm confident that it even means tomorrow for us. Second big word was faith. And that's what this whole verse was about. The dictionary gave me a definition of faith being belief and trust in and loyalty to God. And that was in the Webster. You know, and it said God right there in front of everybody. So I kind of like that's the way it spoke. So now we have faith. Now faith is confidence. Now confidence. There was lots of stuff when I went ahead and looked up confidence. It is a feeling or consciousness of one's powers or of reliance on one's circumstances. Like, we had perfect confidence in her ability to succeed. Or he met the risk with brash confidence. Now, when we have leaders, we kind of like leaders to be confident. I can't remember for sure what the commercial is right now, but it's about just good enough. They, you know, the guy's working on you go in to get your brakes worked on. And he asks the mechanic, "You guys pretty good with brakes?" "We're okay." Well, if you're going to have your brakes worked on, you want the guy that's doing it to have a little bit of confidence. And here, it's good to have confidence in our faith. Next was hope. And hope can be used as a verb or as a noun. And as a verb, to cherish a desire with anticipation. To want something to happen or to be true. You're hoping for the promotion. You're hoping for the best, and I hope so. It's also to desire with expectation of obtaining or fulfillment. When we hope for something, we're planning on it coming through. It isn't a wish, it is hope. To expect with confidence and trust. And then as a noun, it is straight out. Hope is trust and reliance. And then the expectation of fulfillment to succeed. So, we've got now faith in confidence is what we hope for. And assurance. Well, assurance is not insurance. I looked it up. They're not, you don't use them. But they're kind of the same in some ways. It is the state of being assured, of being certain in the mind, confidence of mind or matter, easy freedom from self-doubt or uncertainty. It is security, something that ensures or intends to inspire to confidence, and it's the act or action of assuring someone or something, such as a pledge or a guarantee. So now we're up to, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. About what? The unseen? So, now we're hoping for, we got assurance of this, but it's something that apparently is invisible, or it could be hiding from us, or it's just not here yet. The way we're able to have our assurance is that we know it in our heart. Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. In our heart we know that He is there. He is here and He will be with us forever. So, wrapping it up. Now, faith, confidence, hope, assurance, the unseen, we've broke them down. And it comes back to, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and the assurance about what we do not see. Hopefully, we understand this scripture just a little bit better after we have broken it down. But that's all been, it's good stuff, but it's a little boring. So I want to wrap this up by going back to the bishop's letter. There is evil and darkness in the world today. Would you agree? Well, the light, Jesus, He has overcome the darkness. We know that, correct? Right now, we are called to be and to share His light with the world. How can others receive and have faith, confidence, hope, and assurance, especially if it's unseen, if we don't share it with them? If we don't go out and tell them about it? If we don't invite them to come and be with us as we learn and worship and praise our Lord. We have received a gift that is too good not to share. We must share it, and we must share Jesus. I know it's a pretty quiet crowd, but I need a witness. Should we be sharing Jesus? Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, it is plain to see, and You have given us instructions through Your Word, the Bible, and the power through Your Holy Spirit to overcome the darkness and be Your light to those that do not know You. This includes those of our families, our friends, our neighbors, and those you put on our daily paths. Let us claim with confidence the assurance that we have in you. It is a love that is far too great not to share. For we ask this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, Amen.